Let's do this. It's a big fun Friday here on Nick and Cecil. We go out to that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline to talk to former NFL player and teammate of one Nick Ferguson. It's Noah Burrows joining us. Nick and Cecil here on The Fan. Noah, good evening. Thanks for joining the show.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing good. Now, we've got to start talking about the secondary, right? Because everyone loves Nick all the time. Every show, Noah, talking safeties left and right. And I get it, right? The game has changed. Safety play is so very important. You're a player in the NFL. You're a coach at a high school and a collegiate level as well. Let's talk about how and why that safety play is so very important in today's game.
Well, obviously, for those of you who know the game, being with the safety. The safety is part of the last line of defense. And if the safety doesn't get it right, you just go for a touchdown. It's kind of a difficult position to play. Most players who are safeties, they didn't start out as safeties in high school. They came from other positions. So it kind of takes a while to make that transition, to make that person a formidable defensive back. And so that's always the trick with the safeties or DBs in general.
Now, playing that safety position is always crazy. You and I both played it. A lot of fun times. We're going to get into it, but I just want to kind of dig back into the coaching ranks. I mean, you've coached, in high school, you coach on the collegiate level. Now, how many of your guys, that came through your program that are now currently playing in the NFL? Because I always think that is great to know that you coached up a couple of guys that are now playing in the league and you're able to kind of live vicariously through those guys.
It's funny because one guy who was a DB who I've coached who's currently playing, you get guys at times you see they might not be the most skilled, but they are the most technically sound and they are the most serious when it comes to understanding the game and learning that playbook. So one guy that is currently playing, Russell Douglas, he's one of those guys that took every bit of technique that I taught, and he honed his craft to whenever he's been a specific defense, he plays it the exact way you want it to be played or how whatever defensive coordinator wants it to be played, and he's able to thrive because of that. So if you get a guy who understands the game and he understands his place and where he fits, then he's going to be that guy that's going to really appreciate having him.
Noah Burrows, former New York Jets teammate of one Nick Ferguson, joining us here tonight on a big fun Friday on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Noah, I was reading some quotes from your playing days from Herman Edwards. And Coach Edwards was talking about how you were a multi-sport athlete. Now, as a coach of young men in high school and at the college ranks as well, let's talk about that versatility because, I remember watching Christian McCaffrey when he was here at Valor and being a multi-sport athlete, you see some of the best guys that make it to the level, to the NFL, that don't specialize in football. How important was that for you? And how important is, playing multiple sports to these young athletes who are on the come up?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to coach. I didn't believe that in high school, or at least in my first 2 years, because I took the difficult route. I went from high school to junior college because I didn't have as many offers that I would have liked to. So I understood what it meant to be confused, because when you're an athlete, you just have great talent. You can play so many different positions. It kind of hurts you in the sense that you don't get a chance to hone your skills or technique at one specific position. So what I always thought is, why aren't my current coaches, why don't they think this way? Why don't they give me a little bit more one-on-one so that I can understand the position more? So that's something about that. As a coach, I wanted to make sure that players understood their specific position and understood to a point where they knew where the person behind them was supposed to fit, or the person in front of them, they were supposed to fit. So if they knew that, they knew their technique, they would flourish. And that's why I think some coaches, they fail to reach that target.
Now, Cecil and I, a couple of days ago, we were talking about, you know, Sam Darnold. And knowing as though you live in New York, you work a lot with the Jets, you see him a lot, you hear a lot of the conversation and dialogue. And our idea, because we have some issues here with our quarterback position, I said that, hey, it would be great if the Broncos were able to call Joe Douglas, the Jets GM, and just kick the can down the road and see if they could acquire a guy like Sam Darnold. Knowing as though you've been there in New York to see him, what is your own professional take of one Sam Darnold?
Well, I'm not one to speak specifics, but I'll tell you this. Sam is, I've seen him grow. He's had time to grow. He hasn't had the most, he hasn't had the best sporting cast. So, you know, you have to be fair with that and say that he hadn't had a chance to really flourish the way he could, or maybe he should. But if it were me, I think for the type of quarterback that I would want, I wouldn't mind shopping him around and seeing what I can get for him, if it was possible, a good amount of draft capital or money. You know, I would have to take that offer into consideration, because I'm not sure that other coaches in the league think he can be that franchise quarterback. But he has enough potential to grow if he's in the right system, I believe. But for me, the specific type of quarterback that I would want, you know, I would really entertain the idea of seeing what I can get for him.
Noah Burrows joining us here, Nick and Cecil on the Fan, of course, former Jets teammate of one Nick Ferguson. And Noah, as a coach, and all of us who played sports at any level, right? Junior high, high school, maybe you made it to the college ranks, maybe you made it all the way to the pros like you guys did. As a coach, how much pride do you take in being such a positive force for these young men? Because I know a lot of my favorite memories and maybe, you know, part of my construct as a man comes from the people like my father or like my coach in high school, and I had a couple of different coaches, you know, basketball, football, etc. Like, it comes from lessons they taught me. So what kind of pride do you take in knowing that you're impacting these young men, not just on the football field, not just in high school or college level, but for the rest of their lives?
Well, I take from my junior college that I attended, Nassau Community College, one of the best quotes that stuck with me throughout my entire life was my coach George Powell. He always told us that he's not coaching everyone to play in the NFL. He's coaching us. He's coaching every player on that field to be productive men in society and be able to provide for our families when the time arose. And so that was profound for me. So I keep that same mentality. I keep that same thought in the front of my mind, and I know that a lot of the kids that we coach at times, they may not have that positive role model, so I have to make sure that I'm something that they could look up to and aspire to be like. And also I think it helps when you play the game, there's little nuances about that position or that specific technique that you can show a player that they definitely can use. So I think that's where certain players, coaches, former players that have transitioned into being coaches, that's where we hold an edge over other guys, is that we know we've been through the fire, so we can help those younger guys avoid certain situations that could be disastrous.
Now, speaking of transition, you're making one heck of a transition right now. I mean, you've been a high school coach, college coach, and you've done a lot in the New York area trying to help kids out and kind of keep them on the straight and narrow. But there's a new transition that you are embarking on, which I guess because I know you, this is a little down your alley, but it's still a little different. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, currently I'm in a race, an upcoming election, March 16th, to be the village trustee, deputy mayor of Hempstead, which is where we used to practice. For years, the Jets facilities was located at Hofstra University, which is in Hempstead. And it's just something that, you know, you look and you see certain things happen in the community. And to be honest, you know, I love to help people. I love to service people. So when I have conversations with my dad was also involved in civil rights movements. He marched with the SCLC, and he was a young 15, 13, 14, 15-year-old when he was marching. And he would always tell me all the stories, and those things stuck with me. Initially, I thought it was, you know, my calling would be in coaching and helping as many kids that way. But now I feel like I need to help a grander amount of people. So I think I could do that better through entering the political game, the political world. So, you know, that's my new focus now, and I'm going to strive to be elected. I'm going to strive to be the best trustee, deputy mayor I can be to help this community move forward.
Fantastic. Noah Burrows joining us here. It is a big fun Friday. It's Nick and Cecil on the Fan. And Noah, we do something that we call sharing with friends. When we have longtime friends on like you and Nick are, I just got to know, because I know that, and I'm the oldest guy here, but I know the old Nick Ferguson, right?
What are you talking about?
I heard a guy talk about back in the day, painting his face, and all, so, you know, being wild, playing special teams and hard hitting. I know that Nick Ferguson. You knew a young Nick Ferguson. So give me a story, man. Was he painting his face the whole time? Like, when did that start? What did you think the first time you met Nick Ferguson and you saw this guy running out there hitting everybody?
Well, Nick, it's funny because Nick and myself, we both garnered this nickname, and I didn't know, because Nick was there before I came, and they both called us Angry Man. So when I came, my name, my name was Noah, but I didn't know Nick's name also was Angry Man. So, like in practice, for me, and I know Nick as well, we only went one speed, and I was full speed. So at times I would hit my teammates in practice, and then, I get screamed at by the coaches. And then when we go back in the locker room, you know, all things were spoke of what we did on the field, and they called me Angry Man too. So, but I know Nick's anger and my anger also, it was directed from passion and trying to do everything that we love the right way and to the fullest. But there was, that was my story, right? I had a little attitude at times in the locker room, but Nick had a little story on the sideline where he blew up on almost everyone on the team.
Sounds about right.
Oh, wow. Just more ammunition for you, Han Sisu.
Yes, exactly. I love it.
Are you writing this down?
I am totally taking notes. Thank you, Noah.
Okay, so Noah, here is something. You're in New York, and Sisu right now is wearing his New York Knicks beanie. And were you ever a New York Knicks fan?
You can't be from New York and not a true New Yorker and not be a New York Knicks fan. So, I grew up as a Knicks fan. But to be honest, I'm sorry, Steve. So I jumped off that bandwagon. I think it was 1996 was the last time, I believe.
Oh, okay. When John Starks was out there missing three-pointers, right?
Yeah, against the Rockets. This is terrible. And
yep.
I could not believe this. You know, Michael Jordan was out of the game. Perfect opportunity for us to win the championship.
Yep.
And he just kept bricking. He kept bricking, and it was just something that wasn't – I didn't see happening. And it got worse for me because, you know, once Dolan escorted Spike Lee out and he did what
Charles
he did to Charles Oakley.
Right, yep.
Yeah, I felt like, hey, man, there's no honor in that organization. So, I'm going to just bow out gracefully.
Okay, with that being said, see, it was 1996 when you decided to bow out, Noah?
Yep.
Okay, so Cecil has been a longtime Knicks fan, pushing way past that. As a fellow New Yorker, like you said, I mean, that is kind of written on your birth certificate. When you're born, you are a diehard Knicks fan. Can you please talk some sense into Cecil, because he is still hanging on to the idea of the New York Knicks. So I'm going to let you give you about 10 seconds to talk.
He can have more than 10 seconds, dude. I'm hanging on to Allen Houston, right? I'm hanging on to Chris Childs and Charlie Ward and Larry Johnson and Patrick Ewing and Charles Oakley. I'm hanging on, and now we got Julius Randle. Exciting time.
No, it's not exciting.
Exciting time.
You traded Chris at Porzingis. I mean, to Dallas.
So?
I mean, it's not exciting. Noah, please talk some sense.
I'm sorry,
in this,
Noah. I'm sorry.
No, listen, Cecil, I understand you know, you're a diehard fan, but being on the inside, you tend to change a little bit. You don't have that same love for those organizations when you know they're in the working, you know how it goes. So for me, I can imagine what the players have to deal with there in that organization just because
right.
The losing has been so long, Cecil. I need
so bad.
Something. Yeah, I need something else to hold on to.
See, so he jumped off the boat in 96. You are still holding on to the life raft that is just kind of...
Yeah, I'm a LeBron James fan now, so...
See?
I've been a James fan for some years.
There we go. So you're rooting for the Heat, just like one Nick Ferguson, because, of course, Nick loves everything Miami. So there we go.
Yeah, that's true. Wherever LeBron is, you know, that's where I'm going to root.
Well, Noah, man, it's always great to have you on, and I'm glad that you are still continuing your pursuit of public service, and I wish you all the luck in this upcoming campaign because we need more people like yourself that are driven to help others and not just be selfish and looking out for themselves, man. So it's always great. I know we don't get a chance to see one another as much as we would like to, but I guess with Aaron Glenn now being the DC for the Detroit Lions, I guess – the whole angry man thing will never die.
Yeah, man. We'll keep that thing living on forever.
Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you, and good luck in this upcoming election.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate it. You and Cecil, thanks for having me on, guys.
Rock and roll, Noah Burrows, ladies and gentlemen. Angry man, huh?
Yeah, man. Angry man. That he didn't tell you when he said, well, Nick was just yelling at everyone.
Yeah.
I kind of brought up the game where that happened. It was a playoff game against the then Oakland Raiders, and I was called for a holding penalty that kept our offense like in our own territory. I think it was on the 5-yard line. And then special teams coach Mike Westhoff threw his cane like Braveheart in the middle of the field.
Yeah, his cane?
Yeah, because, you know, he had like cancer and they had to do, you know, bone marrow or whatever. So he walked with the cane. So he threw this cane like he was like the movie in Braveheart, the movie throwing the sword.
Yeah.
And he just let into me. Now, this is like Monday Night Football. Everyone is watching. And I'm like, I'm angry because it wasn't me. I didn't do it. Now, if I had committed the penalty, okay, I'll take it. But it wasn't me. It was, I think it was Kerry Johnson, one of our linebackers, who had 51. The official just looked around really quick, saw 5, and just called 25. I was like, I was nowhere near the play. So Mike Westhoff and myself were arguing back and forth. I'm trying to, you know, state my claim that it wasn't me. Other people are trying to get involved. Aaron Glenn comes over and he's trying to calm me down. And I'm like, man, get away from me. Don't touch me. This man is saying I did something that I didn't do. And then I just stopped and I just went, ah! And then once I did that, I had no idea that it would stick with me for the rest of my life. And that's how I got the angry man name.
Always watch out whenever you go shaggy. Because it wasn't me. So says one, Nick Ferguson. Either that or you went like Jim Carrey in the match. It wasn't me.
No,
it was the one-armed man.
That's right.
John Davis, our dear friend, talking to us next.